preach right now, I believe.
That's the greatest truth I ever heard in my life. When I heard that Jesus loves me. And it's almost beyond, well, it is beyond my comprehending. Why Jesus would love sinners like you and I. But He does, brethren. And ladies also. He loves us. And that word love is used so loosely today. But it's a word with a very deep meaning. It's beyond, to be quite honest, it's beyond our human comprehending of exactly what love really is. Because He loved us. It's not that we loved Him, but that He loved us and gave Himself for us. And in that I do rejoice. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Isaiah in chapter number 45. Isaiah chapter number 45. I want to use a verse there. It's kind of like God gave me this thought. And you can stand if you can, if you're able to stand. If you're not, I'm understanding about those things. And the Lord laid this on my heart. And I want to use this as somewhat of a springboard this morning and preach to you what God's laid upon my heart here in Isaiah chapter number 45. And the verse is in the bulletin, so you oughtn't have any problem knowing where I'm going to be preaching from. If my memory serves me correctly, I believe this is Mr. Spurgeon's verse, I believe, that he was saved from. Or when he was Sunday morning, he was saved. The deacon was lecturing on this particular verse of Scripture, and Mr. Spurgeon got saved listening to that. And so I want to try to use it this morning as somewhat of a springboard and hope the Lord will be a blessing to us. Let's look at it in verse 22 of Isaiah 45. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. What a verse of Scripture. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the good hour we had this morning in Sunday school. Lord, thank you for the good Spirit of God that's met with us and helped us and certainly blessed my heart. If no one else's, it's blessed my heart. But I believe also others as well. We thank you for that today, for visiting with your people in this way. Now, I'd ask you, Lord, to continue to speak to hearts. Bless those that are in some sort of dilemma or calamity of life today. Those that have needs, Lord, beyond human comprehending. You're able. I pray that you will do a great work for them. Reach down in a merciful hand and save the lost, lift them up out of the depths of sin and degradation, deliver them, help the sick and the afflicted. I do pray for divine help for myself this morning. Help my lips to speak forth that which God puts within my heart. And Lord, may it be words that will magnify your precious name and bless and help the people of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I'll get right into the message this morning. I won't take long at all on the introduction. I know it's already getting late, and I'll try to get right into the message and try to get done as quickly as what Brother Hall possibly can. Reading the verse one more time, verse 22, Isaiah said, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, and know, for I am God, and there is none else." How true that is. Now I want to take that. Look, he said, "Look unto me. Look unto me." Amen. And I want to take that as a springboard this morning and preach on some things on this thought. Looking places. Just looking places. Places, people, and powers that you and I need to look at. Not only God's children, but sinners as well need to look at. Now, I want to begin simply by saying, in way of introduction, that God has given mankind two sets of eyes. With one, He has the ability to view those things that are natural. The world, with its beauty, its beautiful scenery that it has, we're able to see that. The grandeur of the lofty mountains with snow-covered peaks and mountaintops. Then the valleys with the beautiful streams and lakes. And even the heavens themselves.
Yep.
With the stars that shine so bright. And with the moon that puts off such a beautiful glow. And then the sun that shines rays of light to warm the heart of man and then to lead man in the way that he stumbles not. But there's also a second pair of eyes. And unlike the first, they're spiritual. They're spiritual. Their design is quite different than what the natural eyes are. They look through the, rather than looking through the mind, they view those things which are, and those things which are temporal, they're embodied within the soul and the heart of man. And they view those things which are spiritual. And so God has given us these eyes that we might look at those things that are natural, those things around us, life itself, things that are in the world. But you'll never see God with these natural eyes. You'll never see anything eternal through these natural eyes. But God's given us a spiritual set of eyes, embodied, as I said, in the heart and the soul of man, that has the ability to look beyond the realm of the temporal into the things that are eternal. And may I say that those are the things that count the most. These temporal things that we see today, ladies and gentlemen, will soon take wings and fly away. Time continues to move on. It seems as only yesterday that I was just a little boy, and today I'm an old man. And time has sprouted wings and flown away. And soon likewise, I also will fly away to be with my God. And so I want to preach a little while on that. It's those places and persons or powers that is seen through the spiritual eye that I want to deal with somewhat this morning. The Bible said there, first of all, looking places. He said, look unto me.
Amen.
Look unto the Lord. I'd say that'd be the very first place that a man ought to look to would be look unto the Lord. He said, look unto me. And you know, I never thought of this until I got into the service this morning, but this thought dawned upon me. If a sinner is going to look upon the Lord, then it's going to the Lord, first of all, is going to have to open up those spiritual eyes and enable him to do that. Now, somebody said, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, I don't either, but it's a fact. It's true. It's somewhat like Lydia. The Bible said that God opened up her understanding that she might receive Christ. And God opens up a man's eyes, his spiritual eyes, those embedded within his heart and soul, that he might see the Lord. It's kind of like Isaiah when Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and lifted up. And so he saw the Lord. And he tells us there that we're to look unto the Lord. Now notice what we're to look at. Jesus said, look unto me and be ye saved. We're to look at his salvation. May I say thank God this morning for the salvation that He's provided for you and I, that are nothing but old hell-deserving sinners that ought to be in hell. But God, in His divine love and mercy, came to where we were and lifted us up out of sin. It's just like the song that Miss Hall just sang, He loves me. The Bible said that God loved the world. You've heard this many times. And it says in Ephesians that He loved the church. But Paul said in Galatians 2:22, I believe it is, that he loved me. And I'm glad this morning that God loved me. Amen. And gave Himself for me. And we're to look unto His salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, God still has the power today to deliver sinners. I think that people have the idea or entertain the idea today that sinners have gone too far. They're too deep in sin. They're too far away from God. Things are getting so impossible that God's not able to save anymore. Well, the fact of the matter is that it's not that God is not able to save. The fact of the matter is that men love darkness more than they love light. And they will not come to the light because their deeds are evil. And it's not that God cannot save them. It's the fact that they do not want to be saved. They love their sin more than they love God. And if you're here or by the radio this morning, I'll say this to you. If you love your sin more than you love your God, you'll never be saved. You're going to have to come to a place in your life where God means more to you than anything else in all this world. That's right. Absolutely. That's absolutely right. You're going to have to love Him with your heart, mind, body, and soul if you're ever going to be saved. And it'll take a work of grace on His part to bring you to that place in believing that you might be saved to that degree. So we're to look unto His salvation. And then He said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. Not only look at His salvation, but look at the scope of that salvation.
Yes.
Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth. I mean, from one end to the other end. May I say this on the authority of the Word of God? A sinner cannot get too far away from God to look to Him. I don't care what part of the earth that he is in. Look to me. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. From the very tip end of the earth, as far as you can get away from me, just look unto me, he says, and I'll save you by your marvelous grace. Oh, I think some folks have got just a small idea or in their mind of just a small little view that God has of sinners. But may I say to you that God can save a Chinaman this morning? That's right. God can save those on foreign soil. I think America is feels so fortunate today that we've gone beyond the idea that God's able to save those in foreign countries. Or He's able to save those at the ends of the earth. He is able to do that. Now I want you to hear what I'm saying. I don't believe that's exactly what that verse of Scripture means. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. Now if I can put it to you like this, I believe what he's saying is, when you're a sinner and you have come to the last mile of the way, when you're about to end your time period upon this earth, when you have traveled to the end of the earth, your last mile is up and over. When you've gone as far as you can go, if you just look unto me, I will save you. And by the way, he told him in Numbers 22, when that brazen serpent was lifted up, Jesus repeated in John 3, said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And that serpent in the wilderness, when they looked unto that serpent, when they were bitten by a serpent, they looked to that brazen serpent, they were delivered from that serpent's bite. Now I'm telling you, when a sinner today looks unto Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, from the end of the earth, are you listening to me? From the end of the earth, and looks unto Jesus, hey, there's no doubt about it, you've been bitten by the serpent of sin. Oh, the serpent has put his fangs deep into your soul. And I'm telling you that there's one that lives in heaven that is able to draw that venom out of your soul. Amen. And deliver you by the grace of God. Amen. And set your feet in a firm, in a wide place and give you the grace that you need to live for the honor and the glory of God. What a great God we serve. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. Know that I am God. Look at His salvation. Look at His scope. And then look at His singleness. He said this. He said, for I am God. And there is none else. I don't know but one. Somebody said, well, the earth is full of gods. You know what I read yesterday? Honestly read yesterday that a man's come out with this idea. He said, we ought to let Americans worship and serve their God. Then we ought to let other countries worship and serve their God. And there's only one thing wrong with that. There's no other God. He said there is none else. And I'm not talking about some God that's dead and never got up out of the grave. I'm talking about the God of glory, the Jehovah God in the Old Testament, who is Jesus in the New Testament, that came into this world, amen, and took the venom of the serpent's sting into himself, died on the cross of Calvary, and gave his life that you and I might be saved. He's God this morning. He's the possessor of life. He has life. Let me say this. Now, I'm talking about the serpent sting. Talk about the sting of death. Everybody in here, probably not everybody, but most of you have heard this. But a little old honeybee. A wasp can sting you over and over and over again. But I'm going to tell you something. A little old honeybee stings you. They lose their stinger. They leave it in you. And that little honeybee flies off somewhere and dies. It's dead. It can go nowhere else. Well, may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, when the Lord was hanging on the cross, the serpent put the sting of death in our Lord. And thought, well, I'll just put the sting of death in him and he'll die like all that went before him. But I've got news for that fella. When he flew off, that sting of death remained in our Lord. Sure did. It sure did. There's only one difference. He had the power to lay that life down, and he had the power to take it up again. And 3 days later, he got up out of the grave. Hallelujah. Amen. And he took your death and my death in his own body and died on the tree. Thanks be unto God. That's right. He died our death on Calvary. We should have been crucified. Now I'm telling you, our Jesus died for us and was crucified for you and I. Amen. Now, I've got to hurry along. Don't make a liar of myself. But I want to say secondly, not only do we need to look unto the Lord, but we need to look unto ourselves. Amen. The Bible says in 2 John 8, said, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And that word look there simply means to take heed. Amen. What John is saying is you need to take heed to yourself. Amen. Hey, in other words, we need to pay some attention to what we're doing. Amen. Pay attention to how we're living. Amen. Amen. That's right. Look to yourself. In other words, hey, we spend so much time looking at somebody else, we need to stop looking at everybody else and take just a little while to look at ourselves. Amen. I'll tell you, if we'd look at ourselves, we wouldn't have near as much to criticize somebody else about for the way they're living if we'd look at ourselves and let God realize how we're living. If we'd just look into the mirror of the Word of God a little while, that book would tell you and I how we're living. We wouldn't have to worry about how nobody else is living, because we'd have to spend all of our day trying to get ourselves right with God. Ain't that right? You know that's right. You know that's right. So look unto yourselves. Take heed unto yourselves. That's right. Be diligent in all your affairs. Amen. Brother, I'm telling you, we live in such a laid back bunch of Baptists today. How diligent are we in spiritual matters? How diligent are we in worship and reading our Bible? How diligent are we in helping the poor? How diligent are we in loving our neighbors as ourselves? How diligent are we in our love for the Lord? Brethren, how diligent are you in your love for the bride that God's given you? We ought to be diligent. whatsoever the Lord giveth us to do, we ought to do it heartily. That is, with all of our heart, and be diligent in it. Don't be slack. So, there's another nation been formed, and nobody's ever said anything about it. I don't know where it's located on the map either. But it's called procrastination. That's a big nation. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of Baptists do a whole lot of procrastinating. Instead of being diligent, we procrastinate. We put off until tomorrow what we could get done today, in other words. And what I'm saying is, hey, we need to be diligent. Well, I'll read my Bible tonight. What's wrong with this morning? But well, I'll pray this afternoon. Well, what's wrong with this morning? Well, I'll pray in the morning. What's wrong with tonight? Are you listening? Come on now. Be diligent. We ought to be diligent in our financial affairs. Hey, so many people let their financial affairs get so flabby and far out of shape that they're not able to do anything for God. That's right. I mean, they maxed out every credit card they got. They can't spend a dime on nothing. Don't have a dime for God because they maxed out on everything they got and can't give God a dime. Hey, come, you might as well say amen now. He said, look unto yourselves. In other words, we need to take heed, ladies and gentlemen, to ourselves on how we're living. Amen. And I know times are hard right now. I don't doubt that. I know that. But be diligent. We not only need to be diligent, but I'm going to tell you something. Looking to ourselves, we need to guard against backsliding. Brother, I'm telling you, we're living in a time when it is real easy just to sit back on our lees, as the Bible says, and just backslide on God. I mean, we just don't spend as much time alone with Him as we used to. We don't get in a closet like we used to get in a closet. We don't pray like we used to pray. There's dust upon our altars when they used to be filled with tears, and now they're full of dust on the altar. Now, I don't say that literally. I say that spiritually speaking. Our ladies do a good job keeping our place clean. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritually. That is exactly right. Amen. Amen. We need to guard against backsliding. Brother, it's like Brother Steve said up here this morning. He said something to the effect that you don't have to guess when God shows up. You'll know when God shows up. He said, we didn't doubt at all when God showed up in 96. We knew that we had been met by a heavenly visitor. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, we ought to long. I know, but we ought to long in our heart to meet that heavenly visitor in that same love and compassion and mercy that He showed us the last time that He was here. Somebody said, but it didn't feel very loving and compassionate to me. I felt like a mangy dog. Well, that's good. If it makes you feel like a mangy hound dog, that's good. Somebody says, how can that be good? Well, if it makes you feel like a mangy hound dog, it'll make you get right. That's the whole purpose behind it. Amen. Somebody, I had a preacher preach one time. A woman got up and left and said, ma'am, where are you going? She said, I'm not staying here. Said that preacher makes me feel dirty. I said, good. I said, there's an altar up there where you can get clean. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, I don't like it. Well, that's just the way it is. I'm telling you. Do you think that little old woman at the well, do you think when she first started talking to the Lord that she felt clean? Do you think that little prostitute in John 8, do you think she felt clean when those men brought her in his midst? No. Not at all. There's never a sinner that's ever been brought to Jesus that felt clean. If you felt clean when you got there, you went away dirty. Amen. But I'm going to say, if you go to Him feeling dirty, you might leave feeling clean, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. Hey, that's why the songwriter said, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea. I'm not cleaning myself up, but just as I am, by the way, you cannot clean yourself up. There's no way you can clean up your soul. And God looks on the heart and the inward man, not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. And I'm telling you, if the heart changes inwardly, you'll change outwardly. You can rest assured of that. We need to guard against backsliding. Look at ourselves. May I say we need to remain faithful. If we're going to guard against backsliding, if we're going to look to ourselves, we need to remain faithful. The Bible said in Revelation 2:20, I believe to the church at Smyrna, it said, fear none of those things, thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Why? That ye may be tried. The devil will put them in. You think it's the devil trying them? It's the Lord that tries the hearts. The Lord give the devil that authority to do that. He's the one that's doing the trying. That's his business. But here's what he said. He said, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But he said, be faithful unto death. And guess what? I'll give you a crown of life. And ladies and gentlemen, hey, I don't believe in backsliding and losing your salvation, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to remain faithful unto death if you're going to heaven.
Amen.
You say amen or oh me. God's not going to... You, somebody said, you mean you believe you can lose it? No, I just believe a whole lot of folks never did get it.
Amen.
You can come to church and sit in the house of God and sing the hymns of Zion and praise God and thank God for Him being so good and merciful to you and go back out into the world and start tipping that bottle again. Amen.
Amen.
Smoking that dope weed again.
Amen.
Playing that right-handed shuffle one more time. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Sitting on that bar stool again. I don't believe Brother Andy can bit more whoop or step back down in that bar too and he can take wings and fly. He's going to fly one of these days. He ain't going to have no wings to do it.
Amen.
You ain't going back out in the world.
Amen.
I can prove that to you.
Amen.
The Bible said in the book of Hebrews that the Lord, in the book of Jude, that the Lord delivered His people out of Egypt. Isn't that right? But he said, did he not? Hey, he killed those that did not believe. That's what the Bible said. But you know, those that believed, you know where they went? Woo! They went on the other side of that river, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
They didn't lose it. That crab that died in the wilderness, they heard it just like the one that went across heard it. But they did not enter in because the Bible says of unbelief. Amen. Somebody said, say amen or oh me. I'm going to tell you something else we're going to have to do. We're going to have to avoid sin.
Amen.
We're going to look to ourselves. We're going to have to shun sin.
Amen.
You know, I couldn't help but think of Joseph. When he got down there in Potiphar's house, and his wife began to flaunt herself and throw herself at him, that last time when she took hold of his clothes and tore his clothes off of him, he went running out of the house. He avoided sin.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, sin today is like a magnet. And it always has been.
Amen.
Just draws people to it. It's got a power.
Right.
Sin has got a drawing power. That's why, hey, that's why folks get on the internet and watch pornography. That's why they watch, get on television and watch all that mess. You can say amen or oh me. That's right. That's why they booze and drink and dance and cuss and carry on. Kill and stab and fight and all this mess. I'm going to tell you that. Amen. Hey, they never have learned to avoid sin.
Right.
Amen.
But you and I, as God's people, like Joseph, we're going to have to run in the other direction when we see it.
Amen.
Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? No. Can he run up on a bed of coals and not burn his feet? Absolutely not. If you play with matches, folks, you're going to get burnt.
Amen.
We were sitting over at the house the other day, and she didn't have him out of the box. But little old Haley was sitting there and me had a box of kitchen matches, what we used to call them when I was a boy. And Miss Hall used them to light her candles with there. And little old Haley was just taking that box and going around and around that big oak coffee table, round and around. And Miss Hall said, Haley, don't play with the matches. She didn't have a match out of that box. But she said, don't play with them matches. You'll get burnt. Somebody said, well, she wasn't going to get burned or just playing, pushing that box of matches around that thing. No, but I know kids. Wouldn't have been long probably until she'd had that box open. And can I tell you something? I know the flesh. And I know sin and I know the devil. And brother, you start pushing the matchbox around the table, it won't be long till you have the box open. And you get the box open, it won't be long, and you'll have a match, and you get a hold of the match, you're going to strike that match, and I'm telling you, striker, you're on fire. You better listen to what I'm telling you. God wants you and I to take heed to ourselves and run from sin. Look unto ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. That's right. I want to say thirdly, not only look unto the Lord and look unto ourselves, but we need to look on the fields. Bible said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already unto harvest. You know what he said? You know why he said 4 months? Because generally it takes about 4 months to get a crop in, get it out of the ground. He said, don't look down the road and say 4 months is harvest. He said, what you need to do is look right now. And you know what we're doing? You hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm going to tell you exactly what Baptists are doing, about just about everybody else. We're waiting for harvest time. Now, you'll catch that after a while. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the fields are already white under harvest. You cannot have a harvest till the seeds put in the ground. Somebody said, well, we ain't putting no seed in the ground. What about the generation before us? You reckon they put any seed in the ground? Amen. If they put the seed in the ground, then the crop's up. Amen. We need to look on the fields for their white and harvest. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that sinners are dying every day and going to hell. And folks, the book is clear. Hell hath enlarged itself. It's enlarged itself. Because of so many that are dying and going to there, we need to open up our eyes. Hey, look on the field today at these poor, ungodly sinners that are caught up in sin and ungodliness, and they're on that broad way that leads to destruction. And I'm telling you, there's many going in that way. We need to get them over on the straight and narrow way. There's few that enter in therein, but praise God for the few. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can say I'm one of the few, glory to God. Yes, sir. I'm a few. I'm a few. You're looking at a few this morning.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Ain't that right, ain't Brother Herbert? You agreed with me. I heard you say amen. Praise God. We need to look on the fields, folks. They're white already. Don't say 4 months now. They're white already in harvest. How long has it been since some of us just really went out and told somebody about Jesus? I pulled in the driveway the other morning. I came over here, pulled up out there in the handicapped place. I think we're Brother Spry's part, maybe. Here come I past this old boy coming down here. Through the ditch over here, picking up cans. And when I said, hey, sir, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing all right. And when he smiled at me real big, he told the whole story. The front teeth told me, these top teeth, that he had meth. He was on meth till he was on it hot and heavy. You know what it does? It turns them top teeth just as brown up here around the gums as they can get. He was on it. Now I looked at him, I said, hey. I said, where do you live? And he said, right over here at Cross Creek. I said, won't you come to church? I want to invite you to the house of God. And he said, well, I don't know. I might just come. I said, well, let me tell you something before you leave. I said, I want to tell you before you leave that Jesus loves you. And I said, Christ died for your sins. And that old boy looked at me like I was telling him something off the wall, something he had never heard before in his life. And I repeated again. I said, I want to tell you one more time before you leave that God loves you. Amen. And he acted like, he looked at me and he said, how can God love me? I thought, God loves you. Amen. And Christ died for you. And I said, I promise you, if you come over here to the house of God, I'll tell you how you can go to heaven. I'll tell you that Jesus is the way and the only way for you to go to heaven. That old blood sprinkled way. Hallelujah. That's right. It'll carry you all the way, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, I can feel like jumping up and down shouting hallelujah. I want to say, if the blood has been applied, thank God, if the blood has been applied, you're going through, ladies and gentlemen. You hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. The blood was applied on the altar. That altar outside where the sacrifices were made. That's Calvary. That's where Jesus shed his blood. But also that blood was shed on that mercy seat for our sins in the Holy of Holies. They're shed there. But can I say this to you? That the Bible also says that Moses sprinkled the blood on all the people. Thank God. Amen. That's right. That's why when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you and I. I'm glad I've been sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb this morning. If you don't believe me, if you think I'm lying to you, read the book of 1 Peter. It'll tell you by the sprinkling of the blood. Yes, sir, my friends. You can get there by the blood. Not through baptistry, but by the blood. Not through the man in black's book, but by the blood. Fellow said in here one night, said, I'm glad I got saved reading the book of Man in Black. And I thought, well, I'm glad I got saved reading the black book.
Amen, amen.
I've read one now, but got saved with the black one. Amen.
Amen.
We need to look on the fields. I won't say fourthly. I'm just about done. We need to look for rain.
Yep.
We need to look for rain. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and had already done battle with the prophets of Baal, and the fire had fell and consumed the sacrifice, and went up on the top of the mountain and began to pray. And he said to his servant, he said, go up and look toward the sea. Now listen carefully. That servant went up and said, he's just like us. He said, I see nothing. I see nothing. That's what most people see today is nothing. I see nothing. And in a joking way, this would become a joke. I call over here and I, Brother Steve has the phone. I say, what's going on? He'll say, nothing. I say, well, at least you're honest. Now I'm going to say, I'm afraid most of us today is just like this man here. We see nothing.
Amen.
But he said, you go up seven more times. And he come back and said, now tell me what you see. He said, I see a little old cloud about the size of a man's hand. Now I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. I've got to digress a little bit to get to this. Sunday, Wednesday night, when I got done preaching, Brother Ricky Vincent walked right here, stood right there and shook my hand. He said, Doc, he said, your heart's pretty heavy tonight, ain't it? I said, yeah. Brother Ricky, to be quite honest with you, it's pretty heavy. I said, it seems like the storm clouds is a rolling in. Boy, but when I read this, and that servant went up and saw that cloud, so he said, first time didn't see nothing. But the second time he went up, he saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. And it reminded me one more time, Brother Foley, that you can't have rain without clouds.
Amen.
You cannot. Hey, and by the way, just the other night we got a little rain, and guess what came along with it? What are you talking about? I'm talking about thunder and lightning. I'm talking about a storm. Sometimes there's got to be some storm clouds to roll in before you ever get the rain, ladies and gentlemen. What are you saying? I'm talking about sometimes trouble has to come our way. Hardships has to come our way. Things we don't like have to come our way. And they've been a-coming, buddy. One right after another. They've been attacking us on this side, attacking us from that side. The storm clouds are gathered around us. The children fear not. Hey, God, fear not. When the storm clouds gather around us, I'm telling you, it's only a sign of rain, and rain's only a sign of revival, and revival is a sign of the presence of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right. We're going to have some trouble from storm clouds together. You don't have rain without clouds. But when you, hey, but it also takes a little faith. Of course, when he said, Elijah's servant said, I just see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand. I said, it ain't big enough. Now, he's saying in his mind, he said, I'm going to tell Elijah what I saw, but it ain't going to do no good. Because clouds like that don't bring no rain. And Elijah said, what'd you see? And he said, I seen a little cloud, but it wasn't no bigger than a man's hand. Elijah said, go get down. Tell Ahab, I said, to get gone. Because the rain's on its way.
Amen.
Just a little cloud, but the rain's on its way. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. We just opened up our eyes. These little storm clouds gathering all around us. Some of them are bigger than others. Some of them may not be very big, but there's storm clouds all around us. And brother, I'm telling you, when the storm clouds start coming, there may be some lightning and thunder. There may even be some hard, heavy winds and some hail. But oh, I'm telling you, there's also rain. David said, though I walk in the midst of troubles, thou wilt revive me. No, make a dead man get up out of a coffin and shout hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Know that God can revive His people. Know they're walking in the midst of troubles. God's able to revive, and He is. Look, I can point them out to you. I won't, but I could. But I know Brother Andy and Cheryl, they got problems. And there's some others in here that we've been praying for. I mean, Brother Shelby and Miss Sandy and who else is on that prayer list? Whoever else is on it. And by the way, that prayer list is like the Queen of Sheba. The half ain't been told. People say, I got an unspoken prayer request. I always wonder. I just do. Now, I've got one more place that I want us to look to, and I'm done. The disciples were asking the Lord about His second coming. And when these things, He said, told them all these things. And I'll get to, He talked about distress of nation with perplexity. He talked about the sea and the roaring waves of the sea, tsunamis. Could be. He talked about men's hearts failing them because of fear. But here's what He said. He said, when you see these things come to pass, then look up. I'm talking about looking places. When was the last time you looked up? You know why He wants us to look up? He said, look up because your redemption. Draw it now, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, are we not seeing those things now? I just read yesterday where the big bird over in Iran got his plow cleaned in the election over there, buddy. He lost his majority in his parliament, and he got his plow cleaned, and he ain't looking so big as what he used to look. I'm talking about, hey, distresses among and perplexity among the nations, men's hearts failing them for fear. Oh, yes. But there's some things going on right now that we're seeing come to pass. The waves of the sea roaring. Hey, since that big tsunami hit the Philippines, every time they have a quake out in the ocean, they start saying, tsunami! They don't know whether one's coming or not, but I'm going to tell you what. You know why they cry? You know why they cry wolf? They don't know if it's coming or not. Just because there's been one, they think there's going to be another one. Not always so, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what makes them holler out tsunami? Fear. You know what makes that crowd when they holler tsunami? Head to the mountaintop to get as high as they can. Fear. Fear the hearts of men. I'm telling you, men's hearts are full of fear today. And you and I, walking around instead of looking up, dragging our lips on a carpet with carpet burns on our lower lip. Or no, everybody in here's nose looks like mine. Got that war place on it. That nurse said, Mr. Hall said, how long ago did they take that cancer off your nose? I said, well, ma'am, I said, they used a special device to do that. I said, that was done back in 1967. She said, oh, that long ago. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what kind of a special device? I said, a windshield of a 62 Buick Electra 225. I just let her stand there. There's no cancer on my nose. That's a result of sin. Yep. That scar that you can't see from back there that runs all the way from back here down to here is a result of sin. That scar that's back here is a result of sin. That scar that's down here is a result of sin. I got a few more scars as a result of sin. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad, thank God, I can look up.
Amen.
Look in places. We can look up. For our salvation is nearer than it was when we believed. Look up. Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
He's coming. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, or maybe soon. But He's coming again. He's coming again. I used to sing that every Sunday at Tabernacle, and I'm telling you, when I think about it now, I could run my head through a wall. He's coming soon, folks. Oh, so I said, they've been saying that ever since the prophets. Well, yeah, go on, mocker. Scorner, go on. That's your name, Mr. Mocker, Mr. Scorner. But yeah, regardless of what you say, doesn't change the fact of the Bible. He's coming again. My suggestion to everybody, saved and lost, prepare to meet thy God, because He's coming again. Let's stand together.